In the name of Jesus, amen. The gospel reading is a basis for our sermon on this Lord's Day. The teaching of the end of the world and our Lord's return is one of the clearest teachings of the scriptures. Clear is kind. Remember that phrase. Clear is kind. And when you're dealing with people, when you have interactions, if you can be clear with the way you talk with them, that's a very kind thing to do. God loves us, and He is clear when He tells us about the end of the world and His return. Jesus is going to return. We don't know when, and we are to be ready. Number one, Jesus is coming again. Everything the Bible has foretold up until this point in history has been fulfilled with 100% accuracy. Not 75%, not 98%, 100%. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming again. And not believing that doesn't make it not true. There are people who used to think that the world was flat, never changed the truth that the world was round. Jesus is coming again. Number two, we don't know when. We don't know when. We have to admit some Christians have fallen into foolishness because they thought they could figure out when Jesus was going to come back. They watched the news, they watched the stars, they watched different things, and they're going to figure out when our Lord is going to return. Seems that people have a hard time trying to believe the words of Jesus. You could probably fill up a whole book with the history of failed predictions of the end of the world. Jesus says, clearly, no one knows the day or the hour of His return. What does He mean by that? He means nobody knows the day or hour of His return. Are there signs? Will there be signs? Yes, and we have some of those in our gospel lesson. Jesus said, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. As the world draws to a close, it will seem as if God's orderly creation becomes unhinged. The world longs to be free from the effects of sin. The animals long for that. All of God's creation longs for that. Why do animals go extinct? Why are forests eliminated? Not because of disease, not because of, you know, asteroids or some crazy thing from space. The number one reason, people. All creation suffers because of the sin of human beings. And all creation is looking forward to that day when it will be set free from sin. All creation is awaiting the return of the King. And so when we hear or we read about, like, the weather being crazy, shouldn't surprise us. Jesus said that's going to happen. That's one of the signs. Are these signs occurring now? The answer is yes. Hardly a week goes by when we don't hear of some natural disaster someplace in the world, a flood, a famine, an earthquake, a typhoon, and other natural disasters. These events are and have been occurring for quite some time. Are they occurring with greater frequency than in previous times in history? I don't know that we can answer that. The oldest weather records of the state of Illinois only date back to the 1800s. That's not very far back. So we don't know what the climate was like in this part of the world 300 years ago. We just don't know. Jesus did not say that more signs will occur or they will be closer together before the end comes. He simply says, here are some of the signs. And we have to admit, they are occurring. So, number three, what should you do? Should you sell your house, cash in your investments, spend your time in prayer and Bible study getting ready for the end of the world? You could do that. You could do that, and some people have. And you could justify that by saying, well, you really, really believe in the end of the world, so you're going to get rid of all of your stuff and all your worldly attachments. And some people have done that. And as devoutly religious as that might appear, if you sold everything and got ready for the end, I doubt that's a temptation for you. What is a temptation for you and for me is that we get distracted. We kind of forget about the idea that this world is going to come to an end. We get occupied with all sorts of other things. And Jesus warns us. He says, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now remember, Jesus doesn't want you to be caught off guard. That's why he tells us this. Clear is kind. If he really wanted to catch us off guard, he wouldn't even bother to say any of this. Jesus knows how easily we are distracted. He knows how we get caught up with other things. We get distracted by our toys. And I would say most recently in the last 5-10 years, the number one thing that distracts people, some of you have this with you this morning, is your telephone. Talk to mental health professionals, and they will tell you one of the biggest challenges they have to deal with that they didn't have to deal with years ago was people's phone use. And it's a challenge. Their screen time. We like to be entertained. And we like to be distracted. And it works. Jesus would warn us to be watching, to be waiting. It's interesting that we get so used to living in a sinful world, we can't imagine living any other way, which is in itself a sin. Our twistedness is so bad that not only do we like our sin, but the idea of God getting rid of this world makes us anxious. Like, wait a minute. God's going to get away. He's going to do away with all the bad stuff. He's going to bring us into a new world that will have no sickness or pain or death. And yet we're like, no, I think I'd rather have this world right here now, God. That's how our sin twists up our thinking. This world will pull you down and beat you up. Sin is destructive and it wants to destroy you. Jesus comes to destroy sin. And he will finally bring that to completion when he comes again in glory. Yes, there are things in this world that we like and that we enjoy. That is just a little glimpse, a little taste of what life is going to be like in heaven. And sometime if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, I would encourage you to kind of ponder that. What would life be like if you had no heartache? If you had no aches or pains? If you didn't age? If everything was good? That is what God is preparing for you. This world and everything in it is fading away, passing away. The homes we build for ourselves, they'll be destroyed. The clothes we wear, they'll be taken away from us and destroyed. Even our bodies. We use our bodies, we like our bodies, but we don't get to keep them forever and ever. But what does endure? The Word of God endures forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And what is that word? That word is a word of judgment upon everything that stands against God, but it is also a word of forgiveness and mercy to all who call upon God and claim Him and trust in Him. Paul reminds us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who believes in him and calls upon his name will be saved. So we wait. And what do we do while we wait? Be of help to someone else. Be of use to somebody else. One of the ways to get your mind off of yourselves, which we all need some help with, is to look for a way to be of, of use and help to someone else. And there must be 101 ways we can do that every day. You might have heard the saying, you know, everybody wants to save the planet, but nobody wants to help mom do the dishes. It's just not that hard to be of use. And you can do that. And as you do that, not only are you blessed, but you're blessing someone else. And you do that while you wait. The Lord is coming again. We don't know when, but it will be good. And He is preparing for you a world which has no end, where all sin will be done away with once and for all. And so we ask God to help us not to be frightened by the idea of this world ending, but rather to look forward to that, to anticipate that world that is to come, and to lift up our hearts and our minds to God, who works out all things for the good of those who love Him and who has nothing but your best interests in mind. To God be the glory. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.